The next case is 97-16-18 in Maritech, Ohio, versus Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. Justice Resnick has recused herself on this case. We're pleased to have sitting in place of Justice Resnick, Judge John Patton, and Judge of the Court of Appeals in Ohio, sitting in the 8th District. Welcome. Mr. Crawford.
Back to that was what was happening, several things would be true. One, the cable company would be the alter ego for that purpose. Two, it would violate rules that exist, both at the federal level and have been adopted at the state level, that provide for accounting, both in terms of the keeping of books and records, and prohibit certain affiliated party transactions. Those are called the Part 32 and Part 64 rules. There's been no suggestion here that those were violated. There, in addition, it would be doing indirectly what can't be done directly. But the key to this case is that there's no dispute. It's stipulated as a matter of fact that these funds are Ameritech New Media funds. These are New Media funds. They're not the phone company funds. And because of that, there is no effort here to do indirectly what can't be done directly. The reason I say
you don't disagree that the phone company could not issue a coupon itself.
I don't disagree with that.
And also, in the question, that's correct. The commissioner's order only applies to the established phone company. It doesn't apply to Stakers, Southern Phones, all the other phones. It only applies to the phone company.
That's correct. I think the reason I said if the coupon could be used on here, I think is very important. In this case, there is no requirement that a consumer even subscribe to Ameritech Ohio in order to obtain the benefit of this program. In fact, a consumer could use no phone service or a competing phone service and still obtain the benefit of the Ameritech program. And I think that's an important factor. By using the Ameritech to pay the cable.
To
the media, but not to Ameritech Ohio, not to the phone company.
But yeah, if you don't have Ameritech phone company, you will never get a discount on your phone company.
I don't think you ever receive a discount on your phone
company,
Your Honor.
If you don't have Ameritech phone company, you won't be able to get the coupon to pay your discount.
That's correct, but you can still get the full $10 benefit of the Ameritech by using it on your cable service. And that's a critically important point. And it's important because nothing about this program binds the Ameritech New Media customer to the phone company. There is no tie to the link. You getting the benefit of the program doesn't compel or require the use of the phone company.
If the coupons were restricted to telephone service only, not to cellular, would that change the picture as to whether they violated?
Judge Patton, I think that it would be a very different case if it may or may not change the picture. It would be a very different case because then there would be a clear line to a tie that doesn't exist here. It could then have an effect on competition. This program can have no effect on competition in the local phone market because there's no requirement that you have a phone, much less on Ameritech Ohio. And that's an important point, and the commission is just wrong when it says that it will have an effect on competition. The commission says that it's okay to have an incidental effect on cable service if you're regulating phone service. This isn't an incidental effect on cable. The only effect is on cable. There's no effect on phone here. Justice, let me make another point that's very important. If I could ask this court to read only one authority other than the statute, it would be the Bank of America decision that we submitted in the supplemental authority. And I apologize that we didn't have it at the time of the commission, and we didn't have it at the time we filed our brief. It's a 1993 case. But it is essentially on all fours with this case. The only difference, Judge Patton, is in that case, there was no opportunity to use the check on a non-regulated service. And in that case, the FCC said that there were no violations discriminatory pricing provisions, no violations of undue advantage provisions. It dealt with the alter ego issue that lurks in the background of this case and said that there was no problem with the alter ego problem. It dealt with the cross-subsidy issues that sometimes walked through these briefs and concluded there were no cross-subsidy problems. It would be very instructive, I believe, for this court to review that decision.
Let's leave the alter ego out of it altogether because that's really just something that's thrown in to me to try to show a connection that something is wrong. So just take the parent corporation. If the parent corporation says you can pay your telephone bill by credit card or check, If you pay it by Visa, the Visa people charge us a 2% surcharge or 3% or whatever they charge people for using Visa as a vendor. If you pay it by check, you don't have to pay that 2%. Couldn't your company do that? Would that be given any discount?
No, that wouldn't be given any discount.
Because any one of us could take advantage of that.
That's correct.
And couldn't anybody take advantage of these America checks? All they got to do is buy the media service.
That's exactly my point. All you have to do is get the benefit of this program and
subscribe to the cable list. There is no difference in AT&T credit card for your long distance phone to be used also as a master card to be used at any department.
Exactly, that is the Bank of America case. What happened in the Bank of America case is simply that AT&T, at the time of dominance on business carriers, dominance was a defined term, meaning that it had sufficient market power to be subject to various rules and regulations, much like the ones that issued here. Its parent company established a credit card subsidiary, a so-called affinity card, where MasterCard and Visa were issued under the AT&T name. Through that program, worked to jumpstart the credit card company. The credit card company offered a direct 10% discount on the long distance service. They were tied. They had to both be used in order to get the benefits. The FTC, banks came in and complained, and the banks were even more concerned about the effect on phone service. In that case, the cable companies were concerned about the effect on phone service. In this case, they were concerned about the credit card. Banks came in and complained that had the same laundry list of issues cable companies have raised in this case. The FCC went through each of them and concluded that there were no violations of price discrimination statutes, no violations of undue advantage statutes, and all the dealt, as I say, with all the legal. The key to it is simply this. If it is genuinely an arm's length transaction, if there is no sham, if there is no ruse, if there is no tricky legal game being played here, then all that's happening is one group of customers, yes, they're getting an advantage, but if A, it doesn't come at the expense of the utility, and B, it doesn't come at the expense, more importantly, of any of the other customers of that utility. And that's the evil that these statutes at bottom are designed to prevent. The objective here is to prevent one group of customers being advantaged and another, not just because that's fair, but because in the context of a regulated utility, that will often mean one set of customers pays the benefit directly or indirectly that the other gets. And the benefit comes from an arm's length third party. And on the stipulated facts in this case, we cannot reach any other conclusion. Then the inquiry, and this is again addressed directly to that in their case, the relevant inquiry is if any of the customers have been made worse off than the other YMC, and that hasn't happened here. The net effect of these transactions is that Maritech Ohio always receives 100% of its tariff rate. And that is in dispute. The commission agrees that it's made whole. The medium always gives a discount. This program begins when the medium gives its customer a check. And no matter what use it made of, here to use the phone bill. If you trace it all the way to the end, it always travels through the bank, it always comes back and the result is new media has discounted its cable service. It always ends up, if you will, holding the bag. It's not Maritech. The other thing that's important is the consumer has always gotten the benefit, and in every use, the benefit has come at the expense of new media. The reason is that the new media cable service, like the AT&T credit card, is trying to break into a line of business, and it's a legitimate business expense of this unregulated utility.
As to not the legal issue, is new media board of directors holding just apart from Maritech Ohio and also Maritech Corporation? Is there an
Judge Patton, the answer to that question is not in the record. I can tell you that I asked that question the best of my recollection is there's no overlap between new media and Maritech Ohio, and I don't know that there's any overlap with the parent. I can't answer that question. I can't represent you. I know the answer to that last question. What I can tell you that I think is more important is that this case is on stipulated facts, and on those stipulated facts, which is all the Cable Television Association body needed, on those stipulated facts, you cannot make a finding of all agreement. This is a simple, pure, clean, arm's-length transaction. Remember the posture of this case. It really poses a purely legal question. If you look at the letter that you will find in the file from my partner, Mr. Stem, to counsel for the Cable Television Association, that sets out four stipulations. If you look, the Cable Television Association reserved objection that's in the middle of it, which is that the checks are funded by the media, and that when Ameritech Ohio receives money, runs it to a bank account in the ordinary course of business. And the reason they reserved relevance is they thought it was irrelevant. All they needed to their view was that they were affiliated companies, and that the check of one could be used to pay a phone bill. That is a per se rule that we believe is wrong. The commission has, in effect, established a per se rule that says that a regulated utility can never accept a promotional check from one of its customers where the promotional check is issued by an affiliate of a regulated utility. Notwithstanding the fact that the entire programming promotion is arm's length, which is what we have at issue in this case.
We use your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Nurse.
Sentence, if you're going to give it to us, just one.
Your Honor, yes. I was about to explain.
Okay.
They went on to find that it was not an unlawful discrimination.
Exactly.
Okay? That's certainly true, but that's based on their statutes, their regulations, and their analysis. The difference, Your Honor, is the fact that in that case, there were two highly competitive services involved in one package. Long distance service and credit card service, both highly competitive. That's the key distinction. In this case, in fact, the FCC, the former leading case, the Southern Pacific case they discussed, it was distinguished from the fact that it involved a monopoly service, a railroad service that was not competitive. So there is no reason to believe that the FCC would decide this case differently, and there's no reason to believe the Commission, the Ohio Commission, would have decided the Universal Card case differently. This commission's decision was limited and narrow in scope. It was limited to the record in this case. It was limited to the current state of telephone competition. And the commission expressly said the decision might be different if there were competitive services involved. You know, let the market work. There's nothing that the commission's decision is inconsistent with that approach.
I think we decide this case based on the Ohio law and the Ohio statutes, but since you have conceded that universal case, which I took the time to read because I was concerned, is, as you say, persuasive authority. They rely on it too. Let's go to the part where they talk about unlawful rebate. I mean, that unlawful rebate at 17 and the discussion after that, I found that to be very interesting.
Well, it is, Your Honor, but again...
They say it is an unlawful rebate, don't they?
They do, absolutely, but
yeah.
They do acknowledge that the discount is going to go a lot further than telling. And in fact, again, the context was totally different. Now, I wanted to point that out. I don't believe it helps them. I don't believe it's inconsistent. But certainly, it's not binding on this court, and that there is no reason to say that the FCC would decide this case differently.
Well, I guess I misunderstood you. I thought you were telling us this is a good case for you.
It is, Your Honor. It is.
And you want to be bound by this case. You want me to...
easily distinguished.
Well, if you want to distinguish it, is this a good case for you?
And that would be, well, it shows our point, Your Honor.
Okay.
The commission expressly limited to current state competition was the key to this case, and telephone competition, not cable competition. You know, the commission limited its decision to current state of telephone competition.
I guess that's the point that in the commission's order, there's a reference to in the state of competition, or there's a suggestion that in the future this may be all right. What's meant by that? What's wrong with competition today that in the future is going to be legislation need to do something with this, or what?
No, Your Honor, the commission has already been charged by the legislature to promote residential and all forms of telephone competition, and is doing all it can to make that happen. The distinction found clearly in the commission's decision is really related back to the statute, which prohibits price discrimination for a life-memory in service under substantial conditions.
Right, so I guess the commission is saying that until the statute has changed, we believe we can't permit this to happen.
But no, Your Honor. I think what the commission is saying is, if two fully competitive services are marketed together, then again, I can't say what the commission would decide. The commission didn't say anything that we would consider them to do, and they're making it very narrow. That certainly, if there are two fully competitive services at issue, that happens all the time, that they're marketed together in an unregulated context or a deregulation context, such as the FCC case. But the distinction is based on the statute that in the future, if the circumstances change, that would be a circumstance that wouldn't result in unfair price discrimination. It would have an impact on competition. In this case,
what language of the statute, counsel, permits that flexible standard? The two sections
I think what I just read, first of all, that's similar conditions and circumstances. But it's also the Mahoney County case that this court held that it doesn't prohibit first day discrimination, but only where there's without just cause, without a reasonable distinction, rather. And in this case, Justice Boyer, there is an effect on telephone competition. These coupons are handed out. You can only use one per month, and they're handed out in batches. The commission only affected the telephone aspect of one step of this marketing program and went too far. In order to obtain the full $120 value, you must remain in the American will have a telephone customer for those 12 months in order to use the 2 months.
But that's your, and that's the customer's option. I guess the problem I had with at least the first part of your brief was that you seem to suggest that these coupons lower the bill of the customer who uses them. That's not true, is it?
Well, I think it is, John. If you look at it from the customer's perspective, and the statute 395.33 in particular, it talks about collecting and receiving from the customer different amounts. If you have two houses on the same street, and they're both served by Ameritech telephone, one is a Time Warner cable customer, and one is an Ameritech customer, they get the $25 telephone bill. The Time Warner customer has to pull $25 out of his pocket to pay that bill. The AmeriCap customer gets to pull $15 out of his pocket, and they get to use this coupon, this dubious cash value to begin with, to pay their telephone bill.
Well, then how is it different? We've argued this in brief, but how is it different than my neighbor giving me, or a neighbor giving one of them $25 because you did something nice for me yesterday, so I got a phone bill and you say, well, here, I'll pay it. How is it different? The bill is the same. There's no difference in the rate charged. There's no difference in the amount that's billed the customer. The customer just finds a different way through competition.
The customer
perhaps
pays
to pay
less
his bill. But any customer could do that. Some obviously choose not to.
There's a big difference, though, I'd like to suggest between your example of someone getting the cash. These are coupons. Like a coupon, it can't be negotiated. You can't go to the bank with a check and deposit it in your checking account. You can't buy anything with it, except in every instance, like a coupon, the benefit goes back to the corporation that issued. I'd like to suggest that, again, with the day of Washington Drive, what a coupon expire and a parse out of time, that is a factor that serves as a barrier to residential selling competition. That market is in its infancy right now, and it is quite rational. There are providers out there that provide residential telephone service, and if you have to beat them by more than $10 on a $25 bill, it's not going to happen.
Do you think the General Assembly intended that we should regulate that kind of competition? I mean, if that's competition, so be it. Is there a bigger issue here that telephone companies may go out of business if they have too much of this chipping away? Or what's the bigger issue?
Well, Your Honor, I think the issue, again, from the Commission's perspective, is strictly the telephone service, the regulated manner in which payments are received by the customer. That's done. And currently, Ameritech's tariff requires the customer to pay a full bill.
Right, but that's okay. Pay the entire bill. That's the
thing. Yeah, the Commission found in this case, made a finding that, in my example, that the Ameritech customer is paying less.
But how can you say they're paying less if you trace the coupon? It does not come out of the context of Ameritech. The coupon is given to Ameritech for the bill, along with the balance of their bill.
Mm-hmm.
And the coupon is then sent to Huntington. And Huntington pays the part of the bill through New Media's checking account with Huntington. So New Media is paying the difference, not Ameritech.
Well, Your Honor, I would suggest, first of all, the Commission was trying to get to the bottom of this and see what's going on. Consistent with this court's mandate 2 years ago, the CBI case, the Menko case, which the court insisted that the Commission, quote, look beyond the surface, quote, in determining its jurisdiction. The Commission could not ignore the fact that this marketing scheme itself is designed to blur the line between the corporations. Justice Stratton pointed out the parent company only is the only company at issue that answers to shareholders or the owners that issue stock. They wholly own both these companies. So both companies serve identical to that shareholder.
Now we're into the officer ego, whether or not New Media has control of Ameritech, or whether Ameritech has control of New Media.
But
that's why I asked the question, if you can answer that, too. Are they separate and distinct boards of directors?
Understood, Your Honor. And I believe, the appellants are here today effectively causing the Commission and the court by saying, we can do anything we want through our affiliates. Unless you prove we formed that corporation unlawfully, we can do anything we want. Now, the Commission recognized, consistent with the language of Rule 495.33, that if the utility directly or indirectly achieving this prohibits rate discrimination, you can look at it as a continuum. They've already agreed that if they did it directly, it would be unlawful. And on the other hand, if you had cash that was given out, customer free to use, and wasn't restricted, coupon that has an anti-competitive effect, that would be okay. But here they've done something in the middle, of course, they've used their affiliate to do indirectly what they couldn't do directly. It simply, the existence of an affiliate should not serve as a shield for Ameritech to get out of things they've already admitted they couldn't do directly.
Ameritech provide more service to a customer than the rate buyer. General phone service. Can they beef up their phone service without having to go back to the Commission?
Well, without having to go back to the Commission, no, they
would provide an incentive to customers by adding on what you get for the
same devices as what was originally.
If you're saying, are they providing an enhanced service or a new service, they can certainly submit tariffs and times.
I'm saying with that touching thing, for your basic service, now you're going to get under the rule of
thinking. Right.
But now
it has to be approved by the commission, yes. So if the
technological ability to provide cable service on the lines that are already coming in, say, hey, you know, while you're at it, we're going to give you free cable. They couldn't do that.
If they did it for all customers, Your Honor, there was no effect on regulated service, it was discriminatory, that could be okay. There's a difference here.
I mean, would that be a heck of an advantage against some other company who's trying to sell phone service in the same neighborhood?
Well, again, it wouldn't involve discrimination among American customers or two classes of customers, like the commission found here. And it's important to keep in mind with the commission, and it's increasingly true in the future, there needs to be some level of ability to separate. It's ironic with the attack going into the cable main or beyond the jurisdiction. What they're trying to do is maintain a certain level of separation between the regulated services and the unregulated services, which the utilities are more diverse today and continue to be. The commission needs to focus on Title 49, that's what they did in this case, and they need an ongoing ability to do so.
That may not be a fair way to proceed in your judgment, but I keep going back, and I just want to bring it back to the law. The statute is directed directly at a regulated utility, not all of these others. It says the regulated utility cannot sell their... Here we go.
A
regulated utility cannot give discounts on their service. Now, let me ask you this. Do I recall right that the commission made a specific finding that the full tariff rate was received by the appellant?
Your Honor, the commission did make that finding. And again, that's
they
really
didn't?
The part of this case.
They didn't make it that they received?
Veritech argued. Your question was whether Veritech received...
Yeah, the full tariff rate. The rate that they have on file, their tariff on file with the commission. Don't they in every case receive their full tariff rate?
No, I don't believe they do. They do. They receive a coupon as part of the payment. And that, again, with the...
Does the coupon plus whatever the cash is equal the full tariff rate?
Sure.
Okay. So one way or the other, they end up with $19 if they billed $19.
That would be true on the face, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, let me tell you why I ask you. Because the very universal case you're talking about says that the regulated entity receives its full tariff rate is equivalent to stating that it charged this rate. That's
Your
the
Honor,
universal case.
I would tell you that as I read the court when I first stepped up here, the commission, the FCC, clearly determined this was a discount. They saw through it the same way the commission did here. They merely went on to find it unlawful or discriminatory in the context of the competitive offer.
Thank you, Mr. Nurse. We're going to take a minute here. The time has been suspended, but.
So please report my name is Andrew Anderson. I'm here on behalf of the client that lost the case. And I think a good place to return this final minute that you've given me is to the statute. And remind ourselves that the key facts here are, number one, we're talking about a regulated monopoly company. We're not talking about the fully competitive atmosphere. And two, we're talking about corporate affiliation. We're talking about the American family. Not the benevolent neighbor, not a third party or competitor.
So that's the strongest point, is it not? The affiliation, isn't that? It seems to me that it is the strongest point.
That's a key point, Your Honor. Certainly is, because this Ameritech program is an Ameritech family program, not tech, not seek to discount or anything like that. It's an Ameritech affiliation program. If I
Let me just focus that if Kroger Company did exactly what New Media did here, same banking arrangement, so forth, same process, except it's the Kroger Company. Problem?
Yeah, the technically neutral situation, Your Honor, is providing value that can be used for a home telephone bill. Here, you're right, the corporate affiliation is the key to the situation here, because the Ameritech family consists of one member, which is a regulated utility. And that regulated utility can't do things directly, as the court has agreed here. The regulated utility cannot offer discounts, cannot accept less money than it should be charged. So therefore, it can't do things indirectly.
Well, how are they accepting less money when the coupon winds up in Huntington, and Huntington then sends them a check for the difference? So they're getting the full amount of the telephone bill. They're not paying any portion of it. It's coming out of New Media's checking account.
The eyes through which to look, Your Honor, in deciding whether the statute has been violated are the eyes of the consumer, not the eyes of Ameritech Ohio or how it accounts for its money on the banking system or how it flows money from one corporate product to the other. The place to look under the statute is the eyes of the consumer. And the prohibited anti-competitive effects of this program must be measured by the amount received from the customer. Not after all get there and gather up and count it, but the amount that comes from the customer. And I am a customer. When I see this Ameritech program, it looks like a whole Ameritech family scheme. It's all within the family. It's not a money giveaway, it's a money keep away. It's a money keep in Ameritech family scheme. And as a consumer, I don't pay the full $25 of my bill. I only pay a part of it. And that helps to leverage the regulated utility to keep that market closed and make it harder for the new entrants to try to come in to the local phone company. So that's why the two key factors are there. The regulated monopoly.
How is that different from the universal paper credit card space, where AT&T provides you with a credit card, you will get.
First of all, the 1993 case that they're citing from the FCC was before the Telecommunications Act of 1996. And it was also before the General Assembly has amended the statute here in Ohio that addresses local telephone competition. And that is the General Assembly has expressed a goal, and the federal government has expressed a goal of opening local telephone markets to competition. So we're talking about a different set of regulations, a different market, a different set of statutes. Also, in that case, in the FCC case in 1993, there was a specific finding that AT&T, in that case, had complied with the FCC's affiliate transaction rules requiring stringent structural separation. So they did an analysis that isn't even in the record here about applying.
Well, is there evidence from this record that we have stipulated facts? I've just seen where there's substantial evidence to show that there's a combination between New Media and America other than them being affiliates.
Here's where that evidence is, Your Honor, and this is just about controversy. It is the marketing program materials themselves, which were attached to our complaint and which were presented to this court in the Public Utilities Commission's second supplement, which was filed on December 15, 1997. You can see for yourself what the marketing materials are. That's a great place to start because that's what we're talking about here. Now, and let me go on to suggest that don't stop with the 1993 universal card case. Here are the cases that are more analogous. And these aren't binding either, but they are certainly instructed as that 1993 case. The more analogous cases and the more relevant cases to the public policy issues underlying the statute are two things. One, the very recent decision by Michigan versus of the Public Utility Commission, holding that the very same Ameritech promotion was unlawful under Michigan's law. The very same program we're talking about today. If you look at that case, you'll see the Public Utilities Commission or Public Service Commission up in Michigan talk about this marketing program deliberately, intentionally blurring the corporate distinction. We come back to that corporate affiliation problem. The second case that you should look at is the very recent FCC decision under current law.
under the current telecommunications act, and that is the one that has been presented to judicial authority, ACT versus Ameritech Inquest, that was issued September 28, 1998. There, we have another joint marketing scheme, and there the FCC says that's unlawful because it helps to preserve the monopoly in the local television market. And Ameritech has not shown its ability or its actuality of opening up the local television market as a competitor. That's exactly what we have here. This scheme has that effect, if not the intent, of helping to preserve the advantage that Ameritech has as the only local television provider that I can choose.
Thank you. Trafford, you've used your time, but take 30 seconds.
Trafford, just before you do that, for purposes of being sure that this recorded argument is complete, in response to my question, you said the commission didn't make that finding. The commission says in their July 17th order, the fact that Ameritech Ohio is ultimately, quote, made whole by cashing the new media merit check is irrelevant for purposes of determining compliance with the applicable statute. Don't you think they made a finding that you were made whole? Or
that's absolutely fine. They couldn't reach any other conclusion on the record in the case. If I could just try to run quickly, first off, I'll give you a different one. The affiliation relationship is their strong argument, but it's not sufficient. Mere affiliation does not per se mean that someone is something improper. This statute doesn't say indirectly or directly or by an affiliate. The legislature, this state, knows that your affiliation is used in the statute. This is a lot of other.
It is, however, the affiliation that permits the three-way use of these checks.
Now, the fact that they're affiliated doesn't permit it, not a. It's a coincidence of it. It isn't an element of it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you go back to the point that you never have to use a phone service, a cellular service, a pager service, anything else. If all you do is subscribe to cable, it's a coincidence. It's not a material fact in this analogy, I don't believe. Justice Douglas, the word discount may be used in the Bank of America decision, but that's not a term used in the federal statute. And I think that the FCC should be forgiven. If it's used a term, it wasn't a defined term of art or definition. The substance of that decision is clear. There's nothing improper about this transaction. To say otherwise, I think it's a high behind one tree and miss an entire force. The message of that case is very clear. The question of what the consumer gave, it's critical to remember that the consumer gave something of value. The term in the statute is compensation. Compensation doesn't mean money. It means anything of value. You find definitions in the title by quote of compensation that use that phrase, anything of value. This check was of value. And in fact, remember this, another part of Rubik's Cube that you have to look at. When the customer gave the AmeriCheck to Ameritech Ohio, they had to give $10 more to the cable company. The commission got this analysis to what was given to the phone company and doesn't pay attention to what our consumer had to do, reaching into their pocket and giving 10 more to someone else. The Michigan case has no application. The statute that is issued in the Michigan case doesn't exist in the state of Ohio. That case says nothing about price discrimination statutes, nothing about undue advantage statutes. It came after this case. It's irrelevant here. The last 2 points that I'd
like to... Very quickly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. The case will be advised of our opinion.